Chapter 7. July. During the following couple of weeks, I met all the members of my Indian family. There was Uncle Piara and Aunt Pritham, and they had three sons and a daughter. Rana, their oldest son, was 24 and had a wife and two young sons. After Rana was Jaspal, who was 22 and married to a man called Jasbir. Lal, the next son, was 19 and had been married for about a year. The youngest of Uncle Piara's kids was Inderjeet, who was 16, like me. He was fun, and he told me that he would show me around the village. After Piara, there was Uncle Gurvinder, who is married to Aunt Harpal. They also had four kids. Three of them were married, and the oldest, Avtar, had three kids with his wife. Meeting everyone was confusing because I already had a lot of cousins back in England. There was also my father's youngest brother, Jag, who was like the black sheep of the family that nobody talked about. Inderjeet looked younger than 16 years old. He was really skinny, and his trousers were too big for him. His main jobs around the house were taking care of the cows and water buffalo, which looked hard, but he always seemed happy. I went out to the fields with him during my third week in the village, and he asked me questions about life in England. I told him about things like shopping centres and football, but it was hard to explain, and he just smiled at me and called me Gora. His life had been so different from mine. He hadn't even seen an aeroplane yet, and didn't believe me when I told him how big they were.
"You Gori think we're all stupid," he told me, thinking that I was lying to him.
Then he took out a packet of some things that looked like weed rolled in brown paper and tied together.
"Do you smoke?" he asked.
"Weed?" I asked. My eyes were wide open with shock. Inderjeet shook his head and laughed.
"No, no, not drugs, but we can get those here too. These are biri."
"What's a biri?" I asked as he took one out of the packet. He explained that it was an Indian cigarette.
"You smoke these?" I asked.
He looked around to check that none of the family was near before nodding at me.
"Don't tell anyone," he said.
Now I laughed. I had hardly smoked since I arrived, but I had brought one of my cigarettes with me to the field. I took it out of my pocket and showed it to Inderjeet.
"I smoke these English cigarettes," I said. "You try one of mine, and I'll smoke this," he said to me.
I looked at the biri in his hands and thought, why not? "All right, but if I don't like it, I'm having that one back," I said.
"Okay," Inderjeet said, as he took a box of matches out of his pocket.
I was scared that someone might see us, but he saw me and said,
"It's okay, brother. No one ever comes out here except me and Jasbir."
"Does Jasbir smoke?" I asked, and Inderjeet nodded, giving me the biri that he had just lit. It tasted really strong, and I started coughing as soon as I tried it. I coughed for about a minute before giving it back to him and taking back my own cigarette.
"It's good, isn't it?"
he said, and laughed. I didn't agree, but it was good to have a couple of people to smoke with on my holiday. But later, I began thinking of home again. I walked out past the fields on my own, lit a cigarette under a tree, and thought about Addy and Lisa. I started to cry as I finally realized, after 2 months, that Lisa was not my girlfriend anymore.
and I hadn't seen my best friend for so long that I had almost forgotten the sound of his voice. August. Ranjit, Jas and their kid, Gurpal, were returning to Leicester 2 weeks earlier than us because Ranjit had to go back to work. I was jealous of them and missing home so much. We had been here for 6 weeks, a long time. I asked my dad about going back with Ranjit, but he said that there was some kind of problem with our tickets and passports. They were in a ticket office in Jullundur, and we needed to wait 2 weeks to get them. As I had already been here for 6 weeks, 2 more wasn't that much longer. That's what I said to myself, anyway. I spent the time with Inderjeet and Jasbir, checking on the fields or taking the water buffalo to drink some water. By 11, it was too hot to work, so we relaxed under some trees. In the afternoon, we went back to the village, and by 5 o'clock, we were at the house, drinking tea and listening to stories that our fathers told us. Supper was at about 7, and by 8 it was dark outside. Each night, I asked my dad about the tickets and passports, and every time he just laughed and told me to be patient. During the 9th week of my stay in India, on a Tuesday morning, I was walking towards the house from the fields with Inderjeet, and my dad was sitting outside with my uncles and reading a letter. He looked up as I got nearer and called me over. "Our passports have been stolen from the ticket office," he told me, without looking up. For a moment, I didn't fully understand. Then suddenly it hit me. We couldn't go home. I looked at my uncle Gurvinder, who nodded and told me that what my father was telling me was true. "People here pay a lot of money for passports. It's a big business, Manjeet," he told me. "But..." I didn't know what to say. "We have to go to Jullundur to manage everything," said my dad, quietly. "Maybe we'll even have to go to Delhi to the ticket office there."
"When? When are we going?"
I asked impatiently. I wanted to leave now, to fix everything as soon as possible. It was hot outside, but my body felt cold.
"Biara, your mother and I are going. Bilhar and his wife are going to see her family. You're not needed. We can manage it all without you," he said.
"But I want to go, Dad. I'm bored with staying in the village. I want to see more of India."
I looked quickly at Inderjeet, who looked a bit upset at my words.
"I know, Manjeet, I know," replied my dad. "But we can't do anything to change things now, can we?"
I turned round to go upstairs because I didn't want my family to see me cry. Later on, Inderjeet tried to make me feel better by buying me a cola. I was really thankful because he had little money of his own, so I knew that he couldn't really afford it. But when I said this to him, he laughed and said that he had got the money from my dad. This made me laugh too, and we shared a cigarette out in a field. As we were walking back, we saw Harry cleaning his face with a towel. He was sweating all over his body.
"Try washing yourself, Harry. You might even start liking it," I said.
Harry didn't say anything, so I continued,
"Can't you hear me?"
This time he looked up. I started laughing and told Inderjeet about how smelly Harry was in the English summers.
"You think you're so clever, innit?" Harry said. "Try laughing next month when you're still here."
Well, At least it won't be just me, will it? I said.
Harry almost started to reply, but stopped himself and stood back. I couldn't understand what made him stop. It wasn't like him to do that. But my dad shouted from a room in the house,
Bilhar!
And Harry went inside. My mum and dad left for Jullundur the next morning with Uncle Piara. Harry and his wife left later that day. The next day, Uncle Gurvinder took us to a place called Anandpur to visit some famous Sikh temples there. The journey would be long, because Anandpur was high up in the hills.
We will be back before your parents return from Jullundur, he said, smiling.
I realized that I was looking forward to seeing another place in India. I searched for my camera and found it in the room where my suitcase was. I noticed then that only my suitcase was there. Harry had taken his with him to his in-laws, and I decided that my parents' suitcases must be in their own bedroom. Anandpur really was beautiful. We spent most of the day climbing the hills and exploring the different temples, and I took lots of pictures. We drove back at the end of the day in the dark. I fell asleep in the car and woke up back in the village.